So welcome to a brand new Crux of It episode, a spin-off podcast for Your Cross Pro that's now entering its fourth year, unbelievably. If you've not listened to us before, we chat sporadically about all things York City. With the new season kicking off on Saturday, what better time than to get together here on location at the House of Trembling Madness with our panel of the York City Music Man, Mr. Dave Hughes, and the two OGs, Ben Robinson and Jim Calverley. So disclaimer from me, I don't do pre-season. Really don't like it. Does absolutely nothing for me. I saw the first half of the Sheffield United game as Tom Swanton very kindly offered to give me a free ticket that he got via Marvin Armstrong. But apart from that, I've seen absolutely nothing. What I have done this summer is read the wonderful new book from Paul Bowser. And I was reading about our previous playoff games and subsequent seasons after it, which doesn't make great reading. So 1994, we got to the semi-finals. But 95, despite the Man United victory, it was a very poor start to the season. 2010, Martin Foyle got us to the final, didn't he? Then in the start of the next season, left quite early on in the season. Similarly with Nigel Worthington, who resigned. So, Ben, I know we'll come on to new signings in a bit, but is there any concern from your perspective that of history repeating itself, a potential playoff hangover?
I think looking at it, there isn't much to be worried about in terms of that happening. You know, if you think back to the Martin Foyle one, there was that big kind of Brody saga that went on far too long towards the end of it. It was deadline day, wasn't it, when he finally left. I don't feel like we've got anything that's just been looming over us over this summer, really. I think everyone's kind of sort of shrugged their shoulders. I think the season went on far too long. I know I've mentioned before to many of you that I was absolutely drained by the end of it, and I think a lot of people were as well. So I think as soon as we did lose 3-0 to Oldham, and because it was such a convincing defeat, it made it 10 times easier just to almost put it to the back of our minds and move on from it, learn from it. And I think we've clearly put a good squad together who'll be right up at the top again. And I think that means there's going to be no hangover this time. I think might be a bit slow to get going. But if you remember last season, it was also a little bit slow to get going. Even though we were winning games, it felt like at Southend we were slow to start and built into it. Tamworth at home, despite us winning 2-0, it never felt convincing. You know, we lost to Boston early on. So I think if it does start slow, we just need to be a little bit patient, let the players begin to click, and then hopefully September and October, we should just be absolutely flying.
Yeah, and I think Ollie Pearce started fairly slowly, didn't he, as well? And obviously we know how that kind of panned out in the end. Last season, recruitment was outstanding, wasn't it? This season has got potential to be even better, I'm sure. You guys were all like me, sort of nodding in approval at each one coming through the door. So we had like, obviously, Banks, Palmer, Ollie, Newby, Boateng, Kitchen, Gray, Brooks. And they're all added to a side that hit 96 points last season. So, Dave, we've come to you. For which sort of signing do you think you're most looking forward to seeing out of all those players that I mentioned?
Ben Brooks, I think, has the potential to be an absolute star. Maybe not the name that a lot of people would expect. You know, you've got some real talisman players. You've got, obviously, Joe Gray's been at Hartlepool all his career. He's basically, I've seen in the news, he wants to come out and, you know, basically get promoted into the league, which is brilliant. Obviously, Ollie Banks has got something to prove. You know, he's done it once. He wants to do it again. Really, really good. But I think the fact that Ben's had this journey from really, really non-league and he's come through hashtag, he's obviously through Maidstone, I think he seems really, really on fire, really, really wants to do it. For me as well, looking at the list of players we've got coming in, I think Boateng, that was one that none of us saw coming. You know, we all keep our ears to the ground, and that was a signing that the rumour mill wasn't even spouting at all. It was just straight in, bang. And again, quite a drop, but a really experienced player. So really excited to see how he fits into the squad.
Yeah, Ben, anything to add on those?
Yeah, very similar to Dave's thoughts, really, in terms of, I've got to say, it was a very slow transfer window. I don't know what anyone else thinks about that compared to previous years. It felt like it took a long time for us to actually start announcing and signing players. But I think, you know, it doesn't make a difference if we sign them early doors or not, but it was just something I noticed. I think, as Dave said, Boateng, I'm really looking forward to see. I think the experience that's coming is absolutely fantastic. It'd be interesting to see if Newby can, don't want to use the term step up because he can clearly do it at this level, but can he step up to a club that's going for the title rather than one that's going for the playoffs? Can he manage to break in consistently? I think the only thing I contradict with Dave is that I think it'll be interesting in Brooks to see if he can manage it at this level. And I think he could potentially be one that sort of falls on the wayside a bit, because I think Kitching's going to be in that position far too consistently for him to be able to break through. Not to say he's going to be a bad player, but I think he's the one that out of them all, I kind of can't see him breaking in as well as the others. But otherwise, I think what's nice is you look at every position that these players have come into, and it feels like we've made an improvement.
And Jim?
Well, just following up on what Ben said, really, I think what's really exciting is that if you look at the squad last season, the bits where we all said throughout the year that we were lacking in was probably a left back. Well, we seem to have signed two pretty good ones. One that we're pretty confident, like Ben says, that Kitchen's going to be able to step into that, and Brooks that generally it seems pretty well considered that he's going to step up and move on. And then in midfield, where we've signed Banks and Boateng. And I think from a wider York City perspective, Boateng's going to be the really interesting one to see how we've developed as a football club, because we've signed players maybe not quite as high up the pyramid as Boateng before like that, but we've seen them very quickly drop down to this level and really just not turn up and think they can turn up and kind of cash it in for a year and do all right. Which obviously isn't the level we're at as a football club. You're not going to play if you play like that, and you're not going to get promoted if you play like that. So I'm excited to see whether he really comes in and plays like a League One player. Really, that's why we've signed him, right?
Yeah, I think like last season it was very much signing young, hungry players. I think, you know, the likes of Pierce and Felix, who are desperate to play at this level, and I think very grateful for that opportunity. Same with Harrison Mayall. And you're right, these are players like Banks and them that have done it before, but, you know, it's having that motivation, isn't it, Ben, to sort of go back and prove yourself. I hope these players are not here like we've had previously and just come for the money and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we don't want a Peter Till, but I think the players we are signing is...
that was random.
Well, you know, just didn't have quite the impact we're all hoping for in the end. But yeah, I think... right.
You've held a grudge for this long.
13 years I've had this grudge. Yeah, I think it's one that we sort of look at and we kind of go that, yeah, we signed the hungry players last year, the players that are sort of going to push on, whereas this year we've really honed in on to the players that maybe haven't made the impact we wanted them to as the experienced players. You know, not to say they're terrible players, but I'm looking at players like Dan Batty, who sort of fell out of favour by the end. You know, not a bad footballer by any stretch, but when we needed him in that final run-in to maybe catch Barnet or in the playoffs, he seemed to disappear a bit. Whether that's Hinchelwood or Batty himself, I don't know. But, you know, he dropped off a little bit. And, you know, Paddy's getting on a bit now, as we've said, probably for the last 4 years. And it's fantastic, you know, as a professional, we can all say. But he's not going to be the player that is going to be playing every game, you know, twice a week potentially by the end of that season. So I think it's really good that we brought in league experience, which... as much as you don't want to say it, if we were to make the step up, it's then less of a building project to have to suddenly do all over again. You know, imagine if we did win the playoffs this year, we'd have to have almost a little bit, another major overhaul just to try and make sure we can compete at League Two level. Whereas, you know, it's this kind of little and often means we should hopefully be able to step up a little bit better.
Best signing of the summer? Oh, good question. There's so many I'm looking forward to seeing play. Even having seen the friendlies, so many of the players, we haven't kind of seen what they're about because the friendlies are just minutes in their legs. So players like Alex Newby, Joe Gray, Hiram Boateng, I think have really got to, we'll really get excited to see what they're about. But if I had to pick one, it's got to be Ollie Banks, I think. Really confident player. I've loved him and simultaneously hated him when he's been at other clubs like Chesterfield. But he's the combination of like physicality with technicality and crazy amounts of experience. You know, he's got up through League Two twice. Of course, he's won our league with Chesterfield and he's still got it in him. And I think will be a very different attack-minded midfielder to what we've had as well. And he'll improve Hinch's team.
Well, Dan, of the players and signings I'd like to see, that's a really, really tough call. Where do you start? Ollie Banks, yeah, definitely want to see him. Ash Palmer, Aram, Ben Brooks, Bark, Alex Newby, Joe Greg, Ollie. I don't know. I'm going to say Ollie Banks because I think he will bring experience to the party, just what we need, just what we missed perhaps against Oldham. And he'll be there to do it all season long. I think he's a great looking player for us. I don't just mean because he's got a fine head of hair, a fine mane, if you like. One that's going to surprise you, and based on what I've seen in the pre-season and the open training session, is Mo Fadira. He's my pick to make a real impact this year. Some of the touches in the open training session, what I've seen briefly in pre-season, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people this year. So, yeah, I want to see them all. I'm even looking forward to seeing Malachi and his gif with Yorkie's head on, if that comes to fruition. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing them all, and I think it's going to be a great year. We've got a great squad of players.
Another thing I did this summer was listen to a great podcast with George Groves, a boxer, who he was talking about kind of like what helped him become a world champion. And he was saying that basically he used to be in a boxing gym where with people trying to get fit and do a bit of fitness here and there. But then he went into a locker room that was full of former world champions or people who were working at an elite level. And he said that made the difference for him to make that step up. And I was thinking about how that might compare, Dave, to kind of York City's dressing room, thinking of the likes of Joe Felix, Ollie Pearce, who are still fairly new to this level. Young players like Fagan Walcott, Josh Stones, they're going to look around the dressing room now, aren't they? And look at people like Banks, who's been there and done it. And that should give everyone that extra lift, shouldn't it? And kind of essentially look around and think, that's what we needed in that Oldham game that we didn't have. They're here now.
Absolutely. Leadership and experience, keeping calm under pressure, also knowing how to manage a game, knowing how to actually play in those really high pressure games. It's one of those things that we were really kind of blessed with last year, was this, I guess, like a plethora of talent came through. We had these really young, hungry players like you guys have already alluded to. But we did need that experience. We needed that strength, especially in midfield. We needed that sort of aggression when it comes to those man-on-man battles. And I think that the combination of those young, hungry players, the people who want to get into the league, who've never played in the league before, the desire to do it, plus that experience will mean that hopefully on paper we've got something really good. And if they're all gelling really well, then, you know, I think we've got a squad that's going to be feared in this league.
We needed a shit house, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, I did want to say that, yeah. But obviously, you know, we have kids listening, so.
Yeah, sorry about that. I mean, there's fierce competition now for players, isn't there? Last season, I think there was a few complaints, Ben, that the manager didn't always know his best team. I mean, do you think that's important? Will these extra quality players help or hinder him in that kind of process? And second to that, I really think for the first time now, Adam is under pressure to deliver. Would you kind of concur?
I think he's been under pressure from the off. It's probably the most at the start of a campaign that we're kind of going at. But, you know, when he first came in, he was under pressure to keep us up. When he, you know, started last season, he was almost under pressure to deliver and prove that, all right, you have kept us up. Now go show us what you can do. We're not going to end up back in this relegation battle. And now more than ever, we're at that top sort of level. I think last season he got hamstrung big time by the left back. Not to say Cam John was a bad player by any stretch, but for me, you know, he's in that situation where we had to play to a formation that was going to allow us to be supported at left back. You know, we've got a, it was either going to have to be sort of 4-3-3 or 4-4-2, maybe a 5-3-2 here and there, but then you're putting in Sinclair or someone else in that wing back role. I think this season we're looking at the players we've signed, we're much more adaptable and much more able to change up players and be fresh with good signings coming in, rather than, you know, you're looking at it now and people are questioning it at the start of pre-season, are we going to go 5-3-2 this year rather than like the 4-3-3? And I think that's something we're going to see. But hopefully, one of the biggest sort of comments against Hinchwood has been his lack of a plan B. And hopefully those extra signings will enable him to sort of be able to put in that plan B if needs be.
And Jim, I know he isn't a signing, but for me, keeping Ollie Pearce was absolutely massive. I mean, most non-league strikers who bag over 30 goals end up in the Football League, don't they? So to convince Ollie at his age as well, where he's probably not going to get that many more opportunities to play in the Football League, that his best place to play is with us is huge, isn't it? In the past, he would have gone.
Yeah, I think if we were going to lose any player last year, I think Ollie was probably the one that I expected to get bought in the summer. I think Fagan Walcott would have been nice, but I think we had an ability to keep hold of him. I think the reality with Pearce, and Matt's been honest about it in a few interviews, he's done, if players are going to go onwards and upwards, that's not a bad thing for our football club. That means we're getting the most out of them at the time. But it's incredible the way after. I mean, you got to look around there, I suppose. to some extent, he knows he's gonna we're gonna try and get the best out of him. Hinch knows how to play to him. He's proved that in what's he now, three seasons with Hinch, and you know, a lot of goals in those seasons. So I don't think there's a huge surprise to that. I think just going back to the in terms of pressure, it's different this year because it isn't pressure like it was that Ben was referring to last year. This is expectation this year. There is an expectation that we get promoted this year. And I didn't say playoffs, I said we get promoted. We are expecting to win the league. So that is a very different pressure for everyone around the football clubs, from Hinch to Matt to fans. That's going to be very different.
Yeah. And let's move on to departures. So I'll be honest, I thought we might have seen more go out the exit door. But then I was looking at it earlier, there is quite a lot of players who have moved on. So like Sadipa, Lenny, Lewis Richardson, obviously end of his loan, plus the likes of Kouyaté, Dyson being at the end of their contracts, Leon Gravato, who I'd completely forgot we still had, Rory Watson, Cam John, Billy Chadwick, Tyler Corden are all going out on loan. Dave, any of those sort of surprise you, or any that you would have liked to have kept?
No. To put it bluntly, no. I think all of those players going out on loan or contracts that haven't been renewed, I think that all the decisions there were correct. Rory can understand he wants to go and play first team football. He's obviously gone out on loan. GSK seems to have stepped up, which is quite the redemption arc from where we were with those dark days of Altrincham and Halifax. You know, he seems to have really, really kind of got back into the good books, which is brilliant. Gravata going out, he's found his level, clearly, and these are the ones going out. Luamba, obviously, going to Carlisle. I know, obviously, Ajiboy has gone to Carlisle. I know he left before the end of the season, but these people are, they were good, but I don't think we're going to be going, right, where are these players halfway through the season? I don't think they were the players that are going to make or break the squad. I think they were periphery players. I think a lot of them need to develop more as well. If they're going out on loan, they've got a chance to go and do that, to play men's football at whatever level that's at. And if we keep them playing football and then we can sell them on, that would be brilliant as well. But no, I think we've got rid, for want of a better expression, of the right players. Keeping the squad cohesive, bringing in the right people has helped. And so the ones who've gone have made way for those signings coming in.
Yeah. I mean, I personally thought Richardson was a very, very good player. I can see a lot of York fans now playing down him last season. Oh, he's a bit lightweight. Is this? I thought he had a really good impact, actually. For a lone player, really bought into it, scored some really important goals.
His development over the time he was with us was excellent, and I thought he was a brilliant player, and I think at the end of the playoff campaign, we would all have been desperate to keep him at that point. If the case was that we didn't bring anyone in to replace him, I think that would have been then we would have been lamenting the fact he'd gone. As it was, I think as good as he would be, and if he comes back to us, brilliant. I think we've made replacements. And I think that, you know, in that respect, he's okay to move on.
Yeah. Ben, about Dippo as well. Was that a surprise, do you think?
Not a surprise. I think it's been talked about and suggested for about a year now. So I think we all knew it was going to come at some point in the next year. I think the fact that Pierce has been outstanding meant that Dippo wasn't going to get the starting spot that he wanted. I know a podcast listener, Joe Pinder, summed it up brilliantly. I like the idea of Dippo better than what he actually was. And I think that's summed it up perfectly. Of, we all really, really wanted him to come in and be the saviour of this football club when he did come in. We wanted him to go away and score 30 goals. And he did show glimpses of that. There's no doubt about it. He is talented. He's absolutely fantastic. And he is committed to the football club while he's been here. However, he got edged out by Pierce, and he just lacked that final bit of nous just to sort of make him that well-rounded striker that we're all hoping for him to be. So I think we all like the idea of him better than what he actually was. And I wish him all the best in Ireland. I think it's lovely how, for us as a football club, he's in a totally different area and league. He won't come back to bite us at all in any cup games or any league games. So it's nice knowing that we don't have to face him, unlike Lionel John Lewis, for example.
Until he signs on loan for Carlisle in January or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like in some defence of Dippo, I think he was a little bit unlucky, wasn't he? He scored, 15 goals in that first year, which was in a very, very poor side. And without those goals, we would have got relegated, I think. And yeah, like you say, Pierce was so good that the starts he was getting was out wide, which he's never ever going to be a winger, is he? Were you going to add something to that, Jim?
I was just going to say, we've kept using this word, like, are we surprised? But I feel like this is the most boringly brilliant transfer period I can think of as a York fan. We've solved all the issues that we had. We've improved in a couple of areas. There is nowhere I can think of across the pitch where I'm thinking, oh, we haven't got. I mean, if we went to go to back to last season, I think we all knew pretty early doors that we were struggling at left back. It took ages to. Cam John was on trial for a long time. We eventually signed him. No, but there was not a left back at all, seemingly, in the offer at all. So we all knew that pretty quickly. We had, what, six wingers across the season? Because we had two before, like, in that went in January, and then we brought two more in. We brought Stones in. We were, you know, by the end of the season, we were really wanting a midfielder. But I don't feel like that this season. Like, they've done an incredible job this year at solving the problems and cementing areas and providing competition. I mean, even if you look at centre half, where we've had two of the best centre halves in the league last season, they let Crooks go. I think probably we can all agree that was fair. But they've brought Palmer in as someone that's really going to challenge Howe and Fagan Walcott for a position. So, I mean, it's I think they've done really well.
Yeah, yeah. The competition, you know, and we talk about. Yeah, if Palmer's going to play centre-half, then is Fagan Walcott right back? Does that mean Felix in midfield? Does that mean that Armstrong... You know, does Hunt guarantee a start this season? It's positive in many regards.
I mean, Hunt was... I would argue Hunt was our best centre midfielder last season by some distance in a lot of ways. And we're now in a position where we don't think he's out of the squad at all. He's going to play a really key part this season, but we're talking about whether he's going to start. Like, that's crazy good, really.
And also, we mentioned earlier about Dan Batty. You know, for the first 3 months of the season, it was like he was the first name on the team sheet. Like, if he wasn't playing, it was like, oh, we won't win today because he's not playing. By the end of the season, you're sort of thinking, well, if he goes in the summer, it's not a big deal. Another player as well, Ricky Aguiar, I thought might have moved on by now. I mean, but again, you look at first half of last season, Hinch played in pretty much every game. Sometimes he was playing him at left back, sometimes he was playing him centre half, and then the back end of the season, he wasn't even getting in the squad. You know, it's strange how, not strange, but it's interesting how it's evolved over time.
But then the other thing is you look at the rotation that we had last year, you look at the amount of games that we're expecting to play this year. You know, realistically, we've got to be aiming at a decent run in the FA Cup as well. And, you know, Ben, I'm sure, will come on to the North East Riding Senior Cup later on. But we're going to want a run in, like, every competition, right? And the National League's enough games as it is, realistically. So I think a bit of depth. And especially when you look at Aguiar, you know, Hinch knows him. He knows Hinch. There's absolutely not going to be any doubt around how we want to play. So I think he's probably a sensible one to have in the squad as a squad player.
Okay. Dave mentioned before about George Sykes-Kenworthy coming back in. Ben, I wonder what your take was. I felt like Watson was a pretty solid experience understudy. I get he probably didn't suit the style of play, but I think back to the sort of the games he played at the back end of the season where we stayed up, where he had some really good performances. If Harrison suddenly went down injured, are you confident that George coming back in is going to be better than that last spell he had in the side where, you know, he was making lots and lots of mistakes?
I think he'll be brilliant for us in the North Ryan Senior Cup, Dan. But I think that's as far as it's going, really. I'm not confident, to be brutally honest with you. I'd like to have seen him gone, and for his sake more than ours, because everyone's going to think when he comes on, if he comes on, what I've just said, is he going to be able to do it? And that question mark's going to loom over him constantly. You know, it is really good to hear the positive noises coming out that he's fought his way back in and shows that he might still be able to do it. But we saw it in that sort of season. As soon as that confidence went, it absolutely went downhill. And I think if Harrison Mayall goes off, I think, you know, we saw what happened with Rory Watson this season. If Mayall wasn't playing, you just saw in the defence a little bit of a nervous kind of behaviour of, do I pass it back to him?
Seed of doubt, yeah, basically, yeah.
And it's that kind of thing that I think will happen with Sykes-Kenworthy, and I think we should have got rid of him, to be honest, and just let him have a fresh start somewhere else, let us have a fresh start, you know, with a different keeper. So not to say he's a bad person by any means, he's definitely got some qualities, but though he's got a lot of work to do to prove people wrong and to prove that he can manage it at this level and not sort of end up spiralling on. You know, you look at that Boreham Wood game where it slightly looped over its head. That was in January. It just slowly got worse and worse, culminating in that Altrincham game and then the Halifax mistake. You know, he's made some brilliant saves, he's made some brilliant penalty saves, but I think for me, we should have got rid and just let us both have a fresh start and try and get a good career for him.
To be fair, the Halifax game, he did have a 25-yard back pass from Kevin Castro, didn't he? Going over his head. So some sympathy with him, but I take your point. I also wanted to discuss the curious case of Josh Stones, Dave. I mean, we've talked about how Adam, you know, there's an expectation there to deliver. And I feel like Adam's going to have to keep everyone happy, isn't he? You know, Josh Stones, I look at him sort of last season. He was, you know, doing really, really well for Oldham at the time. Really kind of proved himself at the level. The kind of first start I think we had was working at home. He scored a brilliant hat-trick, showed what a talent he was. The next week he wasn't in the side. And I think Adam couldn't quite get that formula right with him and Pierce in the same side. But I thought this pre-season he would be experimenting with that to try and make a case for getting him in the same side. But I think the pre-season has been the opposite from what I've seen. So where are we at? At what point does Josh get frustrated is what I'm saying. It's a long-winded question, but when does he start saying, I need to be playing football?
To be a fly on the wall in the changing rooms would be an amazing thing. I think I'd be frustrated if I was him now, if I was a professional athlete and I was being paid. He seems to want to do it. He seems to be a hard worker. He seems to want to play football. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I think during the pre-season, he was part of, and to put it bluntly, the B team that came on, played a half. And he was part of that. So is that suggesting that he's got a place in the first team squad? You know, is he going to come on again and be a substitute for Pierce? Is it going to be a case that he's there for when we want to shake things up? I don't know. I think he's a massive signing for us, and I'm not sure whether it would be wrong to say, is he too good to be sat on the bench? You know, the money we spent on him.
I think
you'd
get in any other team in the National League.
Absolutely.
Like, he's got everything about it. You know, that working game, I gave him 10 out of 10, I think, on commentary. I thought it was such a good centre-forwards display, the way he held it up, the way he was laying out. And don't get me wrong, he played at Boston a couple of weeks before, and he was the total opposite. He couldn't trap the ball, he couldn't do anything. But you could see once he got that first goal early on, the confidence just rose in him. And by the end of the game, I was thinking, wow, what a player. But he just seems to have hit a brick wall, doesn't he? I just wonder how it's going to start this season. I don't think he'll start on Saturday.
No, I don't think he'll start on Saturday at all. And I think he'll be on the bench, but I really don't think he'll start. I think you're absolutely right. When he's confident, he's a really strong, powerful forward. And he's got a real eye for the ball. He gets in the right places and he scored some brilliant goals, both for us and previously in his career. But at the same time, you can't take away from Ollie's record.
I'm not saying he should start ahead of Ollie.
There was a little part of me that thought he might go out on loan. I did, and there were obviously various murmurings. I'm not going to, suggest which teams he might have gone to, but there was, you know, he could have gone out on loan. You know, and maybe he's part of the plans, but I did think, do you know what? It might well be that he goes to the gaffer and says, look, I want to be playing every game. And they could have found him a team to go to, but, you know, he seems happy. We don't know what's happened. If he's frustrated, we'll know, I'm sure, soon enough.
We got two yellow cards in pre-season, which I've never known anyone get to. I think that's because he puts himself about, doesn't he? And I like that physicality, but that can boil over as well if you're not getting a start and you know. I think the Oldham game was proof. He came on and tried too hard almost in that game, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy for him with the fans singing about him and stuff. So. Ben, I'll come back to you. The fixture list. You're the only teacher I know who would ever consider going to Maidenhead on a Tuesday night. You went as well. Yeah, but you're in one of these private schools, aren't you? You can do what you want. And as someone who goes all over for York City Knights in England, I almost feel like you see the fixture list, and Dave does as well, as some sort of challenge. So what's your take on it? Because a lot of people have said, you know, they're not happy with a fixture list.
Well, you get what you're given, don't you, in terms of, you know, you're going to play each team home and away. So you just have to sort of plan around that if you do want to go to it. You know, sometimes it falls well for you, other times it doesn't. You just have to adapt to it. And I think for us, I think the only major issue we might have is a couple of extra Tuesday night games due to the Rugby Union World Cup, but they're at home. You know, it seems a bit of an overreaction. Yeah, it's a bit annoying that we're not playing like we would do normally, like every other team will be, and it could potentially mean that we've got two games in hand early on, chasing first rather than going out and being first from the off. But at the end of the day, every team plays 46 games, potentially 44 games this year, depending on what happens with Morecambe. You play them home and away, you know, once. It's not a major issue in terms of, you just have to adapt to it. There's plenty of other teams, you know, Spennymoor when we were in 17-18, I think it was, when they got to the FA Trophy semi-finals, they were playing like three or four times a week by the end of the season. You know, there's other teams that have it a lot worse than us, and there's a full-time professional side that is tipped to be one of the best teams. We've got to adapt to that as a club and say, no, it doesn't matter what you're throwing our way, we're going to be top.
So if you've got a parents' evening on the night we've got Carlisle away, what are you going to do?
So Wednesday, 21st of January.
parents' evening, and then absolutely dash up the A1 and the A66.
Get there for injury time.
Yeah.
Yes. Jim, what fixtures are you most looking forward to this season?
Well, I was looking forward to Truro, but then Dizon struck and that wrote off any plans of me getting back. I'm not sure, really. I'm looking forward to it. What's weird is, I mean, Carlisle's the obvious one, right? Carlisle, they're back down. We get to go there again. They're going to, everybody's tipping them as kind of being a hot second. I think they've got a really challenging year. I'm fantastically excited for the idea that they get completely National League and struggle to make mid-table. But I think Carlisle's an obvious one. But it's weird. I think when I tend to look at the fixture list and pick out those big games, you're looking for those big teams where you're thinking, oh, that's going to be a hard game. And I don't really feel like we've got many of them this season. Few too many London trips still for my liking, few too many down south. But and we'll all enjoy Halifax again, I'm sure.
So I'm just laughing. Ben's actually checked whether he's got parents here that night. Yeah. Dave, any fixtures? Halifax away, would that be one that you'd be looking forward to again?
Absolutely. I wasn't there last season because I had a holiday with my family, which for once took priority. For me, I'm looking forward to going to Woking, early doors, Southend, due to work commitments. I'm not able to get to the first game of the season. Or the second, I can't get to Truro either. But yeah, looking forward to most of the away games. I've got to a point in my York City career at the LNER where I prefer the away games. I love the LNER. It's brilliant. But for me, it's going to those new grounds. It's going to the grounds we've been to previously where we've had really warm welcomes. Hopefully, we're going to get to Carlisle. Obviously, I've not done Carlisle. Places that you know are really good adventures. New Wetherspoons to tick off. other new pubs to tick off.
Low bar. Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking forward to, going to some new places. Gutted I can't get to Truro this season. I hope we don't get to go next season because I really hope we go up. But I'm sure everything going will have a brilliant time. Some people go on the sleeper as well, which is going to be an experience, I'm sure.
And your lad's been getting into football, hasn't he? I see, like, over, and Jim was telling me in the car, that over the season he's got more and more involved. So that must be really exciting for you as a dad as well, taking your lad to some of these
grounds. Oh, it's been brilliant.
Grounds.
So like most children in their early years, he was a Man City. I guess they're Liverpool now, but, you know, the best team. He swore it was because the shirt was blue, but I think it was just because the team were the best. And he's come to a lot of games. This is his second season now with a season ticket. I was very, very proud of him that he went to the beach with his grandparents in Bridlington on the day the first team shirt came out, and he couldn't get onto the website, so he bullied my mother-in-law to take him from Bridlington to the club shop to buy the shirt that he had saved his money up for. So that was quite a big thing for me. So he's going to look back either with regret and shame or honour at some point. So yeah, it's been really good to see how he's grown into it, and he's come to quite a few away games. He's kind of, you know, he's got on really well with all the lads. They've really taken him under their wings, and he's loving it. And it's, you know, he's finally got the idea. He was born in York, so he should support York.
Yeah, it helps that we're doing all right as well now, doesn't
it?
But it's good, and it's really, I think that's what's really changed going to the LNER, that there is more sort of families going now. There's more of a young contingent in there, and they're going to be fans for life, aren't they? And that wasn't happening at Proven Crescent. There was a definite, and in fact, John Askey said it, I think. He was really worried about where the next generation of York City fans were going to come from.
Absolutely. The open training session last week absolutely blew me away. Multiple reasons. The organisation, the way the club ran it, was absolutely superb. The excitement of the kids queuing to meet the players all being sat there in strip, ready to meet them. And it was just a really, really nice thing. The events they put on, and it was all free. Didn't cost the kids anything. And then going in and watching the open training session, Julianne spoke. It was a really, really good chance for players to see the fan base and the kids to see the players that they they look up to. And I know a lot of people I know who follow Premier League and stuff would sort of, you know, poo-poo it a bit and go, ah, oh, yeah. But actually, for those kids, genuinely, they were absolutely beaming from ear to ear. So yeah. It was a really good thing to see. And like you say, you know, 4, 5, 6 seasons ago, we would never have expected this. And it's amazing to see so many young people as the next generation of fans, because I really think they're there now.
Definitely. But Ben, I'm not going to do the predict 1-24. I don't think we've got enough time. You've got to get to Bridlington Town in a bit. So, but who do you think are our closest rivals? I feel like there's no Barnet this time. Not literally, obviously. But who are you expecting to be up there? Who do you know, Jim there touched upon Carlisle. I kind of agree with Jim that I think they've got... They seem like they're coming into it very naive. And Regan Linney is a very good signing for them, but I think they're going to need a little bit more than him to get... become champions.
Yeah, I think Carlisle will be playoffs, but I think the standouts for me is, I haven't fully looked into the squad, but they've signed Luamba and Adjiboy, and you kind of look at them that we all just went, yeah, no loss for us. And if they're their starting wingers, I'm a little bit concerned for them. I think they'll be up there in terms of playoffs. I think for us, I think not many people have predicted Rochdale to be right up there. I think they've kind of gone under the radar a little bit.
Made some really good signings.
I think Rochdale could be our nearest challenges. I think Sutton could be up there. I think they've gone about their business quietly. I think Steve Morrison's got another year of managing them. I think they're just going to creep right up and in there without people realising they'll be up there. I think Forest Green will drop off a bit. I think Savage will do a little bit of naivety with the National League. You know, they've signed Nick Orton today, apparently. So I think they're just sort of throwing money at it here and there and just hoping something will stick. And I think, you know, Hartlepool will just... not quite do it as well as Southend. Like, they might push towards the playoffs, might get in the playoffs, but I don't think they've got enough about them to go for that league leaders. So I think for us it's the best season we've had so far to be able to get out of it. You know, you've got Morecambe who have come down, it sounds like they're going bust, and even if they do miraculously survive, they're not going to challenge us up near the top. You've got Carlisle who have got some owners that are, you know, seemingly start to connect with English football a little bit, but still not enough. And I think, as Jim says, they might be naive about it. We've got two sort of, you know, easier on paper clubs coming down compared to what you've had previously of Notts County coming down and Oldham coming down and Leyton Orient coming down. So I think this is the best chance that we've got in terms of the competition. But yeah, I'd say Rochdale is probably the ones that I was concerned about.
Manny, is it Desiree up front? I think he's a good signing for them. He gets a lot of goals. I mean, looking at the bookies odds, Jim, York 7-4 favourites, Carlisle 11-4. We've talked about them. Forest Green 8-1, Rochdale 12-1, Southend 14-1, and then it's a massive drop off after that. I mean, I think Southend might have the playoff hangover that I was talking about earlier. I mean, they obviously finished the season really late, didn't they? Don't think they've signed anyone of real note.
I thought they did really well. I mean, you got to think Southend are, in terms of their when they were taken over, they're us last year. So I think they might do all right. I haven't really seen their signs and stuff, but they have a bit better footing and they seem all right. I think Rochdale, we're all talking about it, right? I think Rochdale looked like a bit of an unsung hero. My crazy prediction for the year is that Mark Hughes leaves before Christmas because of how the National League's run, not because of performance, because I just can't see Carlisle going well at all. I just think the rails are going to come off.
You see, I think if Carlisle were, say, fifth at Christmas, I think that would be good for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they won't see it as that. Their fans will be thinking, we should be winning this league, you know. Yeah. And I think they've had quite a steady pre-season, to be fair, looking at their kind of results and performances. But Forest Green are the odd ones for me. They had a decent experienced manager there, quite a decent squad. They sort of, I think, did they lose on penalties in the playoffs? I can't quite remember now. And then to get rid of him and bring a manager in who's had lots of money at Macclesfield, and he signed three players from Macclesfield, I just think it sounds like a recipe. Horton's a good player. I think I really rate Horton. I don't think he would fit York City, but I think he is a good player. But I think, again, they're going to need a bit more than that.
But that's got fallout written all over it. I mean, Forest Green, their owner likes to be centre of attention, you know, gets on TV wherever he can, whether it's Newsnight or anything like that. And then, you know, Savage is also going to be centre of attention. Like, what are they going to... how quickly are they going to fall out for a start?
Yeah. Any surprise packages? I think Boston might have an outside chance on a fairly decent season. I think they had a really good end to last season, and they've added to their squad. Like we say, there's not many teams that are hot favourites are there. They could sneak up there. Were you going to add something?
I think Graham Coughlin is an incredibly experienced manager, and they've gone full time, and I think that's going to be a massive help for them as well. Obviously, they've got John Lewis involved as well, really experienced leader on the pitch. I saw them last season, and obviously they did the number on us twice, and he is a manager you do not underestimate, because he really got the best out of, at that point, a pretty average group of players. A lot of those players really were sort of top end of National League North, and I think Boston will be up there. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, like people like Jacob Hare, is it?
Yeah.
Played for Whitby Town for a number of years. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, getting lots of goals at National League, which you wouldn't have thought.
Don't rule them out of the playoffs. I don't think you can rule them out of the playoffs.
Anyone else, Ben? Anyone you think might?
You know, we always talk about Altrincham being up there, whether we'll after losing Linney and Newby to us, who knows? But they always manage to seem to do all right. But yeah, I think the way we're all going to predict it this year is how it's going to go, you know, bar maybe two or three places. I think the one I'm most interested about is Hartlepool. I think they could be under Grayson right down at the bottom, or they could be pushing into the playoffs clearly and, you know, right up in there. I think they're the ones that I'm a bit like, I genuinely don't know how that's going to go.
Well, their first choice of manager was the Boston manager, and I think he turned it down, or they didn't give him permission. And Grayson, yeah, he's an experienced manager, but it's... Again, it's a bit like Mark Hughes. He's had a good record at a lot higher level, but a long time ago. And I generally think it's a young man's game, really, management. And things move on, though. I can sort of see Mark Hughes doing the sort of drills he would have done under Fergie at Man United, which will have been very successful at the time. But football doesn't work like that now, does it?
No, and I just think those bottom playoff places are potentially just up for whoever puts a run together. So, like, don't rule out, like, Altrincham winning the last six games of the season and suddenly finding themselves involved. Particularly
where in the last six games.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, or like, you know, any of those things, really. Like, there could be any of those teams that are National League staples that could just put a bit of a run together.
Yeah. Okay, so prediction time then. I do think we'll come top, Jim.
Yeah, that's what we're here for, isn't it? This season. We're going to win the league. That's what we should be doing.
There's always that negative part in me that just can't see past the second. Like, I just, you know, you can't be disappointed if you're already preparing for failure.
Did Peter Till refuse to sign an autograph for you when you were young or something? What is this?
But yeah, I'll say top. I'll be positive for once. It's first or second for me. Like, I can't see it's coming below second this year. But it's just a case of, does another club put on an unbelievable run together and just blows us out of the water? Do we perhaps start slowly, or perhaps even Ollie Pearce get injured, something like that, that I just kind of maybe overthink? But yeah, I'll put my head on the line for a change. First,
I think this is the first season in a long time that I've been confident about saying that. I said playoffs or edge of playoffs last season. I was hedging my bets. I wasn't that convinced we would, but this season, I think absolutely we go for it. I think we've made the signings. We've got the squad. We've got the manager, who now knows the league, importantly. I'd echo what you said as well about managers coming down from higher leagues, sort of journeymen, you know, they want a salary, etc. I think what's been proven in this league is those managers who know this league and the leagues below and the how the pyramid works have really, really stepped up and have done really well. And I think that Hinshelwood this season, he's got a job to do. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him. But I think with the players we've got, a combination of experience and youth and talent, I think we'll be first.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Hey, Dan and the Crux of It team. I've gone for York City, top of the league. I'd be amazed if any of you haven't, really. I think that on paper, we are some distance ahead. Obviously, our enemy is going to be the team gelling, teams coming to us, treating York as a cup final every time. And maybe our enemy will be ourselves if we have a bad spell and have a little bit of a meltdown. But looking at quality-wise, compared to the other teams, and the fact that we've kept almost every single player from the 96-point team, apart from Richardson, and then our signings have been absolutely incredible. All the correct positions where we wanted them to sign, and the experience of Palmer, Banks, Gray, Boateng, Greg Olley when he's back, just strengthens it. I can't believe we're not closer favourites. Hopefully I won't come to regret this, but my prediction is first.
Some might say sunshine follows thunder. And for us, sunshine follows the disappointment of last year. We will be champions. Don't care what anybody says. We've improved significantly from last year. What we've brought in improved an already good squad that came close. Don't look back in anger. Look forward. We're going to great places. We know that with the stuff we've and players we've brought in, when it comes on top, you've got to make it happen. So as for where I see us finishing, champions. Definitely, maybe. Sod that, definitely. We'll be champions and we'll be in the Football League in 12 months.
Right, apologies. So, second question. So you've asked for my prediction of where we'll finish this season. I'm not going to give you my prediction. I'm going to give you my expectation, given where we finished last season. I expect us to win the league. I expect, even though, I switch off June, July, I switch off from it, give myself a break. I expect that the club has done the business that we need, signed the players we need, and that is improving us, not just physically, not just on the ball, but mentally as well. So that we've got a team of players that are going out there week in, week out, no matter who the opponent, no matter what the fixture is, no matter when the fixture is, that they're going out to win and compete. And with no fear of losing. And I expect us to go on better, and I expect us to win the league. And if we don't do that, I don't think we should tolerate that and be accepting of it. That's what we should be demanding from and wanting from the football club. And that doesn't have to be that ain't from a like a spoiled brat perspective or sort of, you know, you don't have to be like harsh on the Ugglers about how you go and do that. It's just an expectation of, you know, they'll be expecting that of themselves. So we should agree with them on that, and we should expect to win the league and go on better. And if we don't, then we should be disappointed until we get promoted via the playoffs. And that's the only thing that should stop us from being disappointed about not winning the league. So, that's what I expect from us. And I guess we'll see how that pans out.
So just wanted to touch upon Morecambe there. You know, rivalry is obviously part and parcel of football, isn't it? But just penny for anyone's thoughts about what's going on there. I mean, football clubs are a community, aren't they? And obviously we have, I've read today that they're quite a big employer as well in the local area. It's very sad to see, isn't it, what's going on there. And obviously, Jim, from your Supporters Trust hat there, what do you think about what's been going on?
It's shit. Innit? Let's be honest.
There's kids who listen to this.
Well, then they need to learn. Well, but you know, it's awful. It is awful. It is awful. Everything I read about Morecambe, every conversation I have about it, it is one guy that has screwed over a community asset. Thankfully, the football regulator is imminently arriving. From my trust perspective, me and Seth have been invited to that. So we'll be attending some of that football regulator stuff. It cannot come quick enough because this is a prime example of a community asset being sold down the Swanee by one selfish guy. I will sit here and encourage you to join the trust, but I would encourage you to go and join the Shrimpers Trust, their trust. If they're going to survive in any form, then it'll be their fans that sort it out like we did back in the day. They will need money to do that. A lot of non-York City fans joined York City Sports Trust when we needed money in a bucket. There's no words really. I mean, the guy has systematically put it in debt. It owes a lot of money to him. There are a lot of rumours about him, his financial records with the football clubs and being discrepancy. That's why they've not sold it to Punjab Warriors when they should. He's allowed Punjab Warriors put money in, and then now seemingly he's just going to let it go to the wall. I think they've got four players signed on. Well, we're less than a week away from the start of the season. Like, it's appalling. There isn't really anything more to say, is there?
No. I sort of looked at it and thought, is Tyson Fury not available? I mean, he's got a few quid on him. He lives in Morecambe.
But I think the problem is there's someone there that wants to buy him. Punjab Warriors have put something like £1 million in already. So this is very similar to what we saw with Southend. The guy has allowed someone else, he's strung them along to sell it to them. He's allowed them to invest money to make sure that they're buying an asset and they've got something to buy. And then he's not sold it to them. I mean, you kind of go, how is it legal? It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. And just to finish off, other Supporters Trust news, anything you want us to kind of know about going on?
So the socials will start again in September, kindly hosted by yourself. We have just bought a stand, so if those of you hopefully remember, we set up a stall at the side of the south stand entrance last year for people to come and see us. We've got a branded stall set up now, so we'll be there on a regular basis. And there are a few things coming down the line, but as our board meeting is on Monday, I'm going to hold off telling you about them because I don't know what's been announced and what we're about to announce.
Okay. So this is a new segment of the Crux of It. So last season we had the Weakest Link, which was very successful, and lots of people commented on that. But Ben was the out-and-out winner, I think, of that. So we're going to do Mastermind this season. So we're going to do a specialist subject for each person, and then in the second half of the season we'll go in reverse order with York City general knowledge. So we should end up with the person who's got the most specialist knowledge going last. So, name?
My name's Jim Calverley.
Occupation?
Some rubbish spreadsheets.
Subject?
Well, before you start on this.
This doesn't happen on Mastermind.
No, it doesn't normally happen on Mastermind. But the guy on Mastermind is not normally asked the night before because one of his podcast colleagues dipped out because he, and quote, haven't managed to do any research about his subject yet. And the other one sat in the room is Rain Man. So I've been absolutely dobbed in here. I have picked Paddy McLaughlin because it is his testimonial year and I felt it was appropriate for us to give him a plug. But I am sat with Wikipedia. So.
Okay, right. Okay, question one. Paddy signed for York City in 2011 from which club?
Newcastle United.
Correct. Question two. During the victory parade around the City Centre after the 2012 double, Paddy was pictured holding a sign. What did it say on it?
R.I.P. Lewin.
Correct. Question three. Paddy played with Lionel John Lewis at another club other than York City. Which club was it?
Grimsby.
Correct. Question four. Paddy came back for his second spell in 2019 with York City. Which manager signed him?
Mikey Morton.
Incorrect. Question five. Paddy had 10 caps for Northern Ireland under 21s, but which country was his last appearance against?
Slovenia.
Incorrect. Question six. In 2022, Paddy was substituted at halftime against Leamington. What was the obscure reason that he needed to come off?
His wife giving birth.
Correct. Question seven. In 2016, Paddy was part of which team's 6-1 victory against York City?
Don't know. Pass.
Question eight. Paddy hit double figure. I've started, so I'll finish. Question eight. Paddy hit double figures for goals in which season?
2013.
Incorrect.
Know.
Dave, what's his final score?
That's useful, Dave. Cheers. So I got four right. Worth a note, I tried to start Oh Daddy McLaughlin the game after his wife gave birth.
And it was just on your own?
Yeah, just on my own. Yeah. Everybody just started with Paddy, which is a bit disappointing.
So the ones you got wrong, which manager signed him, Ben?
Steve Watson.
Correct.
Told you.
Question five, Ben might not know this. Which country was his last appearance against?
Don't know.
England. And then 2016, part of which team's 6-1 victory? Okay, it said. Yeah. Correct. And then hitting double figures for goals in which season? 11. Correct, yeah.
See, why didn't he do it?
Because it's not his turn this week, is it? It's you. Got to have Ben later on. So, thank you everyone for listening. We'll be back with our usual kind of 10 games in, sort of how are we all getting on So thanks for listening. Like I say, it's for York Hospital Radio. We've got Just Giving sites, justgiving.com/York Hospital Radio. Please do subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening on. Ratings and reviews are really, really helpful. So until next time, thank you very much.